Good evening. Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. This is our fifth Good Friday service, I believe, but first in 2 years. So it's good to be back. It's good to have you visitors tonight. Mark chapter 15. We're going to read about when it happened. We're going to begin in verse 22. Mark 15, we'll read verses 22 through 39. Hear the word of the Lord. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him were crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And now, Father, come by your Spirit through your word and open eyes to see Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Almost everyone's death affects someone. Someone you love dies. It affects you. You go to their funeral, you weep, and you're never quite the same. We think it normal that a person's death would affect other people, but we'd probably think it strange if someone's death somehow affected the weather. I mean, if a man's death actually had an immediate impact upon the environment, we would probably wonder, what kind of man was this, that even the sun in the sky responds to his suffering? And yet, that's exactly what the Gospels tell us about the death of the Lord Jesus on Good Friday. The Gospels tell us of several strange events that happened at or around the time that Jesus died. For example, they tell us that around noon, the sky became dark and there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. Matthew tells us that when Jesus died, there was an earthquake that split the very rocks. In fact, it even split the tombs open. And when Jesus rose, some of the bodies of the saints came out of the tombs with him and went and appeared in the city and talked to people. So clearly, Jesus' death was no ordinary death, because Jesus was no ordinary man. But the event I want us to focus on this evening is the mysterious event recorded here in verse 38, where Mark tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Torn in two, not by the Jewish priests. They would have had no reason or desire to do that. And even if they had, this curtain was not made of some kind of, you know, easy cotton. This thing was woven thick and tight. It was 30 feet wide and 60 feet high. So good luck tearing it from top to bottom. This was miraculous, just like the darkness and the earthquake. Mark means for us to understand that around the time Jesus died on the cross outside of Jerusalem, God tore the curtain in two in the temple inside of Jerusalem. The question is why? Why? What was God saying to us through this strange event? Well, before we can understand what this tearing of the curtain means, we must first understand what the curtain itself meant. So I want us tonight to consider briefly three truths about this curtain. First, what it was. Second, why it was torn. And third, why this is good news. So first, what was this curtain of the temple? You read the Bible, you find that this temple began as a tabernacle, a tent set up in the days of Moses, a tent that God designed for himself to dwell in amongst his people. And this traveling tent was later replaced by a more permanent temple in Jerusalem built by King Solomon, which was later torn down by Nebuchadnezzar, rebuilt by Ezra, and then refurbished by King Herod. That's the temple Mark is talking about here. The temple was the place where God dwelt. Right? Not in the sense that it somehow could contain him. Even the heavens and the highest of heavens can't contain him. But it was the place he dwelt in the sense that this is where he chose to make his glory known. So it was the curtain of the temple. But it was also the curtain of the temple. The scripture tells us there was more than one curtain in the temple. And yet Mark is almost certainly referring to the most important one. Remember, recall from your Old Testament Bible reading, the temple was made up of three zones. Right? You walk through the first curtain into the outer court, where there's this big bowl for the priests to wash themselves in. Walk through a second curtain into what was called the holy place, where there's like a table of special bread, altar for special sacrifices and incense. But then there was one last curtain, right? The curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. Right? The Holy of Holies was a cube-shaped room that contained a gold box called the Ark of the Covenant, and which was covered by a lid called a mercy seat, the mercy seat. And it was on that mercy seat that the sacrificial blood was poured. And it was of that mercy seat that God said, "There I will meet with you." Exodus 25, verse 22. "There I will meet with you." At that mercy seat, in that room, behind that curtain. And yet this room was so special and so holy that almost no one was ever allowed to go into it. In fact, just one guy, the high priest, could go in. And even he could only go in one day a year, on the Day of Atonement. If the high priest had presumed to go into that Holy of Holies any other day of the year besides the Day of Atonement, he would have been struck dead by the holiness of God for disobeying the command of the Lord. That's the curtain that Mark is referring to here. Now, in one sense, that curtain was a mercy. I mean, if God hadn't veiled his glory with that curtain, then they would have all been struck dead by the brightness of his glory. Or God simply couldn't have dwelt among them at all. Exodus tells us that there were cherubim woven into this curtain. Like cherubim, like, you know, warrior angels, guardians. No doubt meant to remind us of the cherubim that were standing stationed at the gate of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword to keep them from coming back in. Right? You try to go east into the gate of Eden, you run into a flaming sword. You try to go east into the Holy of Holies, you see cherubim on that veil. And yet in this case, at least, there was one guy who was being allowed in. So that's some progress. Right? Better to have God dwelling among you in a cube-shaped room than not at all. So in one sense, this curtain was a mercy. And yet, at the same time, this curtain was also a symbol of exclusion. Because for basically every Israelite who ever lived, the answer to the question, can I walk through that curtain into the presence of God, was no. No. Are you the high priest? Then no. Doesn't matter who you are. Joshua couldn't have walked through this curtain. King David couldn't have walked through this curtain. The normal Hebrew man, woman, or child could not walk through this curtain ever. This is the curtain that Mark is referring to here. The curtain that separated God's people from God's presence. It was a curtain whose message was keep your distance. Don't come too close. Your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And we are too dirty and God is too holy for us to simply waltz into His presence. Blood must be shed and poured upon the mercy seat. And even that can't be done by just anybody. It has to be done by the high priest. And yet even then, when all that was done, the rest of the people still couldn't come in. They were still excluded. And it all had to be done all over again the next year. Again and again and again for 1,500 days of atonement. The curtain still remained in place until Good Friday. So now we've seen what the curtain was. We're in a better position to ask, why was it torn? Why was it torn? And why was it torn when it was torn? Was this just some kind of coincidence that God just decided to tear this curtain at just the same time that Jesus was dying on the cross? Well, no, it wasn't a coincidence. God chose Good Friday to tear the curtain because what Jesus did on Good Friday was the fulfillment of everything that the temple represented. Everything. The temple wouldn't be needed anymore. And within 40 years, it would all be torn down, not one stone left upon another. Nothing about the temple was meant to be permanent. It was all pointing to something better. And with the coming of Jesus, something better had finally arrived. And the book of the Bible that explains this best of all is the book of Hebrews. Right? The Gospels tell us that the curtain was torn. Hebrews tells us why it was torn. And it tells us in at least three ways. First, the curtain was torn because the final sacrifice had been made, and there would be no need for any other. The reason those sacrifices had to be offered again and again and again was because they really didn't work. Hebrews 10:4 says it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Doesn't work. That's why it had to be repeated over and over again, because it didn't work. And it was designed not to work. It's not like God was like, oh, I tried this animal thing, and I guess I'll have to try sending my son now. No, it was designed not to work, to point forward to the Son of God coming and offering the sacrifice. So the tearing of the veil was like a graphic illustration of what Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. Also, second, the curtain was torn because Jesus' flesh was being torn. And Hebrews tells us that the curtain represented Jesus' flesh. Just as the glory of God in the Holy of Holies was veiled by the curtain, so the glory of God in Jesus Christ was veiled by His flesh. Jesus tells us that His body was the true temple. Remember, he told the Pharisees, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And you know, wooden literalists that they are, they're like, it took 46 years to build this temple. You're going to rebuild it in 3 days? And he's like, and John's like, he meant the temple of his body. Right, so on Good Friday, they destroyed that temple. And on Easter Sunday, he raised it up. The curtain represented his flesh. That's why John can say that the Word, who was with God and who was God, became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we've seen his glory. The Father now points to Jesus and says, there I will meet you. Right? If you want to come to me, come. You've got to come to me through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the curtain represented his flesh. And so the curtain was being torn because his flesh was being torn by the whip, by the nails, by the spear on the cross. And then finally, the curtain was torn to signify that the way into the true Holy of Holies had finally been opened. Never mind gaining access to some cube-shaped room here on earth. There's something far better than that. Hebrews reminds us that the temple on earth was simply patterned after the true temple in heaven. And according to Hebrews 9:24, that's where Jesus is gone. It says, Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. So it's not simply that the temple is now open. It's that heaven is now opened. Right? Paradise itself has been reopened. Right? The flaming cherubim that stood in our way have been extinguished by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the way to the tree of life is open. And that leads us quickly to our third and final point. What the curtain was, why it was torn, and then finally, why this is good news, if you haven't figured that out already. Right, the tearing of the curtain is good news because it signifies to us that the way into God's presence has finally been opened. You are no longer excluded simply because you don't happen to be the high priest. You are not even excluded simply because you happen to be a sinner. And yes, you are a sinner. As am I, as is everyone. There's none righteous. Not even one. And yes, our sin still separates us from God. But if you come to God through Jesus Christ, God will forgive your sin because it will have already been dealt with on the cross on Good Friday. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? So that he might bring us to God. So that he might bridge the gap. So that he might remove the barriers and bring us back to God. So that every barrier between us and God that was symbolized by that curtain could be torn down. And we have access into his presence by this grace in which we stand. When Jesus offered up his body on Good Friday, it worked. It worked. The curtain was torn because the cross worked. And 2,000 years later, it still works. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, still cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is such an effective high priest, and his blood is so effectual that there is no reason why anybody sitting here tonight should ever be excluded from the presence of God because of your sin. It works. The curtain of the temple said, keep your distance. But the priesthood of Jesus says, draw near with confidence. Come ahead. Come on in. The curtain of the temple said, stop. The cross of Jesus says, come. Anyone who is thirsty, come. Come to him and drink. Anyone who is weary or tired or worn out and has tried everything they know to feel clean, come to Jesus Christ and he will cleanse you. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. So if you're sitting here tonight and you've never known God's love and forgiveness, I want you to know tonight that every barrier between you and God has been removed. You do not have to stand at a distance from Him any longer. The curtain that God Himself ordered to be put in place has now been torn down by God Himself so that you might enter. Jesus is alive, and He's calling you to trust Him and to follow Him. And if you do, Hebrews 10:19 says, you can have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. If you turn from your sin and trust Jesus, Hebrews 6:19 says, you can have a hope that enters into the holy places behind the curtain where Jesus has entered for us as our forerunner. You can have an advocate in heaven who pleads for you, who intercedes for you, who sympathizes with you, and through Him you can come with boldness into the presence of God and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. What the high priest could only do once a year, the youngest Christian can do before he rolls out of bed in the morning. And that's come into the presence of God with confidence. And friends, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. The Holy of Holies is growing. Right? It used to be confined to this little cube-shaped room in the Middle East. Well, that curtain's down. And now anyone on the planet can enter into God's presence through faith in Jesus. But the best is yet to come. Someday Jesus is going to return, and the sky itself will be torn like a curtain. And Isaiah 25 says that God will swallow up the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The saints will be caught up. The city of God will come down. The barrier between heaven and earth will be removed, and the entire earth will become one big holy of holies. That's why Revelation 21 says it's shaped like a cube, because it's all the holy place. That's why there's no temple there, because it's all one big temple. There will be nothing to separate us ever again. No more death, no more distance, no more sea, and no more sorrow. Just Jesus shining in all of His glory. The tabernacle of God will be with men, and God Himself will be with us as our God. Someday the final curtain is going to fall. The question is simply, will you be ready? After what happened on Good Friday, there is no reason why you shouldn't be. Jesus has died, the curtain has been torn, and you are allowed to enter. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tearing what we could not tear, for removing a barrier that we didn't deserve to have removed. And so, Father, I pray that whatever lingering veils of unbelief are over our hearts, that You would come and remove them, that we might see Jesus clearly for who He is. And as Christ has been lifted up on the cross, Lord, draw all people to Yourself through Him. In His name we pray. Amen.